Good morning and welcome to the Sunday morning Bible Baptist Hour. I think I changed that around a little bit. This is the Bible Baptist Hour, Sunday morning. Pastor Heaton with you. Thank you for joining me. Bible Baptist Church is located in Lupton. We're on the east side of the road. No matter how you come into town from the north or the south, you can find us. We're right in the middle of town, big white building. And we hope that if you're looking for a church, you'll come and at least give us a try, visit with us, find out whether you want to. May not be what you want, may not be what you're looking for, but we'll at least give it a try. The message continues this week, entitled Some Man. We hope that the message has been challenging, charging, changing to you in some manner, and that you'll take the time to listen at the end of our program to the announcer as he gives you the contact information, and you'll write that down. And then you'll take time this week to contact us via the mail, okay? Hardly anybody does that anymore, do they? Yes, a text message or email or something like that. But we're just asking you to write us a little note, just a few seconds. You can type it if you want to, but let us know that you're listening. That'd be a blessing to you. As I said, the message is, second part of the message is called Some Man, same as it was before. And the song today is by Pat Creed Jr. He's going to sing a song called Send Me and I'll Go. Kind of a missionary message theme, I guess. And we're happy to be with you. We don't do this because we don't have anything else to do, because we do have plenty to do. And we thank those who take the time at the radio station on Sunday morning to cue up our program and get it ready for you. So we appreciate that very much. So there's a lot that goes into these programs. And you think, well, just, you know, he's making a program. Yeah, but there's a whole lot that goes into them. And so we're not trying to get ourselves patted on the back or anything. We just want you to know we appreciate doing it and we want to be a blessing to you. So listen closely now as our announcer gives you an address where you can write to us, and please do so.
Heavenly Father, send me and I'll go. Your word is a seed that I must sow. People searching for truth in a world so confused, grant me the power to point them to you. Lord of the harvest, send me and I'll go. The fields are wide, the laborers few, so much work for you and me to do. No time to relax or be unwise. His coming is at hand. Father, open up our eyes. Heavenly Father, send me and I'll go. Your word is a seed that I must sow. People searching for truth in a world so confused, grant me the power to point them to you. Lord, send me and I'll go. Jesus glorified God with every breath. He was obedient unto death. The highest calling of a Christian friend is to lay down our lives and glorify Him. Heavenly Father, that I must sow. People searching for truth, the world so confused, grant me the power to point them to you. Lord of the harvest, send me and I'll go. Lord of the harvest, send me and I'll go.
Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. How many times have you failed to give such an answer? How many times in the last week, in the last month, have you failed to give a proper answer to someone seeking a reason of the hope that lies in you? How many times in the past week or month or year have you been approached by somebody who said, well, how's it going? And you didn't give a good answer. Oh, what do you know? There's the good one, isn't it? What do you know? And our normal answer is, I don't know much. Yeah. I know Duke ain't going to win. I know a lot of things, but how come it isn't that we don't say, I know I'm going to heaven. I know Jesus Christ saves from sin. I'll tell you how to end the conversation fast. One of those two answers will end any conversation anybody wants to have with you. But it's the answer of the hope that lies within you. You know it this well, but just turn to Galatians 2 just a minute so we can attach a thought to this. We're talking about what some man must do. Some man must give. Do you know what missions would be like, folks, if everybody in this church just quit giving? Do you know what would happen to missions? Do you realize that missions cannot exist without everybody taking a part? See, this is something even children can do. Children can give a dime, a nickel, a quarter. It's not the amount. We're not talking about an amount here. We're talking about the desire to see the work of God go. And I don't care if it's a radio station. I don't care if it's a church. I don't care what it is. It requires pretty much, I guess, if you're going to live in a house, you're going to have to pay for it. Pretty much, I guess, if you're going to live and enjoy and have comfort in your home, you're going to have to pay for electricity and gas. And most assuredly, you're going to have to go to the store and buy some food to put in the cupboard. So I don't care what part of life you're thinking about or what you're doing, but it is going to require that you finance it in some way. Most of us drove to church this morning. I imagine John walked. Most of us drove to church this morning. Now, some of us have got the car paid for, and hopefully that it lasts for another 25 or 30 years. But some of you don't have it paid for. That's how you got here. You financed a car so you could get here. And now that you're financing Sunoco and Marathon and the rest of the oil companies, and, of course, the Arabs, you have a financial commitment there as well. So why should we look at missions as anything different than if we don't participate in that manner, it won't be? A year ago, come the end of this month, we had Faith Promise, and I don't remember the exact total, $34,000 or something like that, seems to me it was, which equals out to about $750-some a week. Can I tell you that we have not achieved that every week? Can I tell you that somebody in this church put on a card they were going to give some money, and somebody in this church did not give their money? Now, just where do you expect that's going to come from if you don't give it? I'm telling you, some man gave so missions could be what it is. And if you don't give, guess what? They don't get. It's pretty hard to pay what you don't have. Right. Don't some of you know that by now? You get those little things in the mail, let's get the little window envelope. Huh? And you go, I don't know how I'm going to pay this because I don't have it. You say, preacher, no, I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you, when you say you're going to do something, don't you think it's probably a good idea if you do it? Guess what happens if you don't make your car payments? You'll be walking to church. Well, you probably won't come if you had to walk. If you don't make your house payments, does the bank call you and say, look, we understand. No big deal. No, they start foreclosure proceedings. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that the work of the Lord is no different than anything else in the world. If the finances aren't there, the work doesn't go on. But notice here, and this is totally opposite of what I was just saying, but notice here in Galatians chapter, I'm sorry, 2, and verse 20. As I said, you're familiar with it, but just follow me here for a minute. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave, see that? Some man must give, he gave himself for me. Question, what have you given for him? Do you know what? The chances of anybody in this room dying for the name of Christ is pretty slim. Oh, I've heard all the stuff over the years about what's going to happen, and I'm not saying it won't, but I'd say that chances are pretty slim. Now, you'd think, isn't there something else you could do for him? William Borden was a wealthy Christian growing up in Chicago. He was an heir of the Borden milk fortune. You know Borden milk? Remember that when you're kids? I don't know if they do. They still have Borden milk out there? Nope, it's no longer in existence? Okay. When he was in his first year at Yale University, that's when they were training preachers. Now they're training. He committed himself to reaching the Muslims of North India. How about that? 3 years later, he sailed to Egypt to study Arabic before going to India. He knew that the money could not mean security, so before he left, he gave away his inheritance of nearly $1 million. Oh, we're talking about the 1800s, late 1800s. $1 million, he gave it away. He was in Cairo for 4 months when he contracted spinal meningitis and was dead within weeks. He scrawled on a piece of paper under his pillow these words, "No reserve, no retreat, no regrets." I'm afraid in Christianity today there is reserve and they do retreat. And they do have regrets. I'm going to be honest with you, forward face with this preacher right here. I would be ashamed of myself if I promised God I was going to give and I didn't. That's just me. I'm not trying to shame you. I'm just trying to say that would be me. I would rather take it out of my milk money. I'd rather take it out of my grocery money. I'd rather take it anywhere than to say, "God, I promise you do this, but I guess I don't have to." So some man must give, so let's turn to Mark 16. I guess I woke him up. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So some man must go. I realize he was talking to his disciples when he said this, but think of this. He did not say someone else. He said, "Ye, go ye into all the world." Why is it that we think somebody else is to go into the villages and the towns and the homes in the world? Why is it that we think somebody else needs to knock on doors, or somebody else needs to hand out tracts, or somebody else needs to witness, or somebody else needs to do that? Why do we think like that? Some of us think that way because we're afraid that we might embarrass ourselves. Some of us think that way because we don't want to take the time away from whatever it is we want to do that. I don't think I've ever met. Now, I do know of some missionaries that have come home. I can only think of two missionaries right here on top of my head right now, and I would not name a name here. One of them, as a matter of fact, I can't think of his name right now. I know part of it, but don't know the whole thing, that have ever indicated to me that they ever regretted they went to the mission field. But for the most part, I don't know of any missionary that went to the mission field that 20 years later said to me, "Boy, you know what? That was a waste." And somehow or another, we've got the idea that if we involve ourselves in the going into this world and doing into this world, that somehow we're going to waste away our life. Romans 10. So, I know who the people are that say amen now, because they're absent. Well, I mean, outside of one or two this morning, I'm not hearing a whole lot of, or maybe you're just bothered. I mean, you ought to say amen even if it bothers you. Yeah, you're right, preacher. Amen. You know, I think it was son-in-law this morning said something about, I know that you don't like to clap your hands. You know, white folks don't seem to get involved. And I thought, Jeremy, when you said that, I thought, well, what you meant was in church. Because I noticed the Cameron crazies the other night weren't too bothered by shouting. And I've noticed that people here, when we used to have a basketball team, I know some of you clapping your hands and as the cheerleaders cheered you on and you did your stuff. So why does the church building, why does that stop there? Right. You're welcome. I just thought, though, that's free. You can leave that. Romans 10, verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? We'll stop right there. If one is sent, do you suppose that requires going? Huh? If one is sent, do you think that requires going? What if I said, well, I feel like the Lord sent me to Lupton, but I just never got there? I'm not patting Mr. Heaton on the back here. I'm trying to tell you something. What if I would have said to my wife, when we're sitting there in Ypsilanti, I feel like I should go to Lupton? And she said, well, okay. I said, yeah, but right now I've got a pretty good job, so I think I'll stay here. I mean, besides whatever the Lord can do, he can do whatever he wants. But let's just take it in the context in which it's in. Where would you be today? I mean, I can't give you an answer on that because I can't see in the future any more than you can. I don't know how God's going to do things. But I think when God asks somebody to do something, he expects it to be done. In fact, I'll show you he does. So some man must go. Now, a lot of people get excited about that, and they think, oh, man, you know, the Lord might ask me to do something. Yeah, he might. You know, most time the Lord wants to know, are you willing to do something? That's all he wants. You know what the Lord wants? He wants your availability. Your ability doesn't mean anything to him. First of all, he gave you what ability you have, so that don't mean anything. So don't throw your ability out to God like you're giving God something. God's the one who gave you enough sense to do whatever it is you do. So don't throw that around at him. But at least you could say this, Lord, look, I'm available. I don't think there's a time. Tell me, is there a time? Tell me, you men that have been to any mission conference, don't you tell me there ain't been a time. There has not been a time when a missionary was showing his presentation that your heart wasn't tugged to Amen. Go home and pack your clothes and go to wherever Amen. It was at. Amen. Every mission conference, every missionary, I got to go wherever it is they're going. For some of you teenagers, that ought to be the desire of your heart. Lord, move my heart. Somebody has to go. It doesn't mean you will. It means simply this. Lord, here I am. I'm available. If you want me, fine. If you don't, then let me do the best I can right where I'm at. But at least if you're where you're at, do your best. Right. So if he sent someone, then I suppose that requires going. With that thought, turn to John 20. I've always been taught this, and I think there's a lot of truth to it, that if you won't go here, why would you go anywhere else? Maybe the reason why some folks never really ever get past the point of that is because they won't go here and tell anybody. Now, what makes you think if you went to Mexico, you'd tell somebody? So in John 20 and in verse 21, Jesus is speaking, and he says to his disciples, he said, peace be unto you. As my Father hath, even so, son, yes, sir, Father, I'd like for you to do something for me. What's that, Dad? I'd like for you to go down there to that old earth where them old wicked sinners are, and I'd like you to die in their place. Okay, Dad. And about 200,000 years later, for the evolutionist, about 6,000 years later, 7,000 years, 8,000 years, 9,000 years, 10,000 years, the father says, "Son, I thought I sent you to go down there." "Yeah, I'm going to get around to it. I'll go." Yeah, hypothetical. You know what I'm doing here. He said, "My father sent me, so I went. So with the same, I'm sending you." Turn to Matthew 21 real quick. Let's just see if the Lord did not give us such an illustration. Matthew 21, look at verse 28. "What think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.'" What? You ever have a boy like that? You know what we'd do with a boy like that? "Mr. Long, you know what you'd do if you said to that son Benjamin right there?" Benjamin. Micaiah right there. I always call him Ben. I guess that's why I call him. "You know, if you said to Micaiah, 'Micaiah, I want you to go out to the garage and get me something.'" Micaiah said, "I will not." We'd probably be making hospital visitation. Doctors say, "How'd that happen to you?" "I ran into the garage door, sir." Imagine if you can there, Mr. Barber, you said to one of them boys, "I'll just pick either one up. They all look like they're mean." You just told that boy, said, "I want you to go out there and shovel out the driveway." And he said to you, "I will not." I don't know how the rest of you treat that, but I can tell you how I'd treat it if my boy told me, "I will not." So this boy said, "I will not." Afterward, he repented and went. Ah, good heart. Good heart. See, oh yeah, he was snappy to the answer to the question, but afterwards he felt bad that what he had said to his dad, and he repented of it and went. See? Now the Bible says, "And he said to the second, likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not." Whither the twain, you know the rest of it, right? I think our churches are full of people who said, "Lord, I'll do something," and then just never did it. And I think there's probably people on the mission field who said, "I don't want to go anywhere," and then, "I'm sorry, Lord, I'll go."
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to The Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.